If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
An Erios production.
Menopause is coming and the men have all left town, but I'm not giving up until I see that baby crown. 39 and single, can someone help me out? He could be bald and bearded, short or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, gay, straight, black, white, tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need sperm.
Hi, everyone. Well, first of all, thank you to my latest Patreon subscribers, Ryan M., Katie B., Kirsten Q., and Anonymous. Ooh, so secretive, Anonymous. I wonder who it is. Maybe somebody that's got a crush on me, probably. Ooh. Anyway, this week, these lovely people had real-time updates and already know everything, but by the end of this episode, you will know everything, too. Of course, you will have to wait till the end of the episode, because I'm just going to sprinkle the information throughout the whole thing, just, you know, to keep the suspense alive. Plus, I need to have everything in chronological order. Okay, so let's get started. Last Monday, I met with my old friend from middle school, Amanda Scott. She invited me up to her house in Tarzana to do some energetic healing. And here we are catching up over tea in her kitchen before we got down to business. And I should mention that we weren't planning on recording, so this is recorded on my iPhone. I think it sounds all right, but if you're going to get pissed off about it, then you just need to relax, okay? I am not perfect. I'm no Charlize Theron, you know? God, she's so good. Anyway, Amanda Scott, everybody!
So you're going to energetically heal me?
Yeah. So I was, you know, I was executive producer in reality shows for a long, long time.
You were?
Yeah, I was in that world.
Anything I know? Any shows
I
know?
Yeah, I mean, all like the all wives shows. And
shut up.
I did Basketball Wives for the last almost five years.
In case she's too far away for you to hear that, she's saying she did all the wives shows and all the Basketball Wives and...
Well, just Housewives of New York. I did one season of that in post-production. And then I was on Basketball Wives from season 3 to season 7.
Damn. Yeah, executive producer.
Yeah, and it was like pretty hardcore for a long time. I was doing other projects too, and but all post-production, because when I had the kids, I was like, I can't travel and I don't really want to. And it just got to be really, really, really... really trying. So I had just finished the season of Basketball. I was actually overlapping, finishing that show. Got put on another first season show for Bravo.
Uh-huh.
And it was just incredibly hard. And we were like just making our deadlines and working all night long and grinding. And I was like driving to work, like white knuckling it, like how am I gonna get through this day? And like missing my kids, and my kids never saw me. And it was just like, I wasn't good. I was just in like a very stressful place.
Yeah.
Anxiety ridden. Ugh. So even talking about it, like, so it was actually like very hard to be let go, you know, because it's like your ego and like everything that they say about this business, you know, there's some truth to it. And, like, your reputation and my ego. And like, it was just very much like I'm a failure. And
yeah,
like,
your identity.
Yeah. And I went to a really dark place, but I took it as an opportunity. Luckily, my husband was like, you don't have to work right now. We can figure this out. And I was like, all right, because I can't go back. I can't find another job at this moment. I'm like crushed. And then I just kind of started like undoing a lot of the trauma and like all of the dogma that you are taught to believe in this industry, that like you're only as good as your last job and it's cutthroat. And just like the energetics around like the shows I was doing just felt really... Yeah, like really just unaligned with where I want to be and like what I want to put forth, like making women drink and fight each other isn't just my thing, you know? I just felt like that wasn't good anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just started like really undoing the traumas and started loving myself, like actually doing the self-love practice and like really going deep. And it was hard. It was like traumatic and stressful. And I unearthed all these crazy just experiences that I hadn't like processed in a healthy way. And so I've been just like chipping away at like layers and armor of myself and like finding all these really cool modalities to help people too.
Yeah, so you did it for yourself and now you're doing it for other people.
Yeah. Yeah. And breath work has been the big. I know I like went a little crazy on you and like sent you.
I don't remember this. Anything. I never remember anything. So
I was like, you have to do breath work, Molly.
Because
when I first found it, I went absolutely bonkers about it. Just got really hot.
I started telling everybody, but yeah, it's an amazing practice, and I've never found anything to be so quick in its healing and so powerful. And so that, for me, combined with the energetic healing, has just been like a really beautiful gift, and I'm just happy to give that to people now.
So what do you do?
In what capacity? I raise my kids and then...
No, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, like, in healing. But you can talk about... I wasn't saying... So, like, what's your job?
So, like, what exactly now? No.
No, I just meant, what do you do in order to help people? What is your... side of stuff?
The energy healing is subtle, and I, like, put you through meditation, and I run your energy, so to speak. I'm going to, like, just have you do an exercise where you just keep your eyes closed, and then we'll talk for a bit.
Okay.
And I'm going to look at, with my eyes closed, the energy coming off your space, on your physical space, and your aura, and all of your chakras, and I'm going to see if there's any symbols or past lives or... just what's coming up for you and what kind of your next steps are.
Okay, I'm scared.
Don't be.
Oh, God.
No, what are you scared about?
I don't know. Because you're going to tell me don't do this transfer thing that's about to happen on Wednesday or Thursday.
I'm going to tell you that.
Don't thaw your eggs, or you should be doing this naturally.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because you've got some decisions to make, right? So let's talk. Let's talk.
Yeah. Well, Wednesday, I go and get my ultrasound to see if my lining is ready.
Mm-hmm.
If my uterine lining is good on Wednesday, then Thursday they thaw 8 of my eggs and make embryos.
And those are the eggs that you've...
froze when I was 37.
Yes, that you've been not wanting to unfreeze.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then we wait to see how many of those make it to blastocyst.
Mm-hmm.
And then... if there are two, they'll put two in on the 29th, which is like a week, I guess, from Wednesday. And then freeze the rest. And, yeah, I have, as of, you know, in the last month, just been having a lot of doubts about it and whether or not I should be doing that. But not just about the eggs, but just should I be having a kid at all?
Yeah. And so that came up pretty hardcore for you over the holidays.
Right? Over the holidays, yeah. Partly because of the family stuff, but also because I just haven't physically been feeling well.
Mm. Right, the stomach.
Stomach stuff. And I think that sort of just permeates into the rest of my being, just because it just makes me, like, feel alone and, like, you know, looking at everybody from the outside of, like, a fishbowl, and I just, like, I'm not part of it. I'm just watching it happen. And they don't know what's happening with me, and...
Yeah. Well, I love that, like, you put yourself on display in a way that is, like, so vulnerable and so just incredibly hard, especially for something like the subject matter, which is so personal and so private, and, I mean, you know all this, but, like, you're just a hero, I think, to so many people, and... whether or not you want to be, you know, it's just like the experience. I get that, like, you went into this podcast thinking, like, it's
gonna
be fun and I'm gonna find a sperm donor and it's gonna be this, and it turned into this, like, whole other thing, which has been, I'm sure, very healing and very informational and just amazing for people. But, like, for you, you're kind of like spinning in the middle of it, and you're the one with all the eyes and all the expectations, and your own body is, like, taking on so much of that energetically. So let's just sit and try to, like, clear out. Let's just sit and clear out some of the stuff, and you're gonna come to the decision. I mean, is it something that it has to happen this week, or is it something that you can revisit, like,
no, it can,
a couple months from now, or
yeah, it could be next month or the month after that. I think the kind of quandary for me is that, like, my baseline is that I want to do this, that I want to have kids, that I've always wanted to have them, and for the last year and a half I've been
trying your ass off.
I've felt confident in that.
Yeah,
there hasn't been any doubt. And I think now I'm doubting my doubts, because I have these doubts, but are they situational or deeply rooted? And I think they are situational. Mm-hmm. And so I don't trust them.
Mm, okay.
You know, like, my stomach hurts, mm-hmm. and it's coloring my perception of everything.
Yeah.
And it makes me think I'm going to be sick for the rest of my life. How can I raise a kid? How can I do this by myself? Like, right now, I meditate every day, and I go to sleep at a good time. Yeah. I try to get 7 or 8 hours of sleep a night. I cook the right food for myself. When I have kids or a kid, how am I going to do any of that? And
you're gonna do it, because you have to.
I just feel so ill when I feel ill.
Yeah, that it's hard to get up and go, right?
I just don't know how I can do that while having a child. It's the only solution I can think of is to go back on Prilosec. Which was great. I could drink and have coffee, and it was awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's always an option, too.
Yeah.
But you don't want to.
Really want. I mean, it'd be great to just have a normal human body.
Yeah, I know, right?
That functions correctly.
So good.
But anyway, it just really gets me so, so sad and down, and I just think I'm going to be like this forever. This is not a way to live. And it doesn't, I've never been suicidal. I don't have thoughts anywhere near that right now. But at the same time, I'm just like, the people shouldn't live like this. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it is for me. I'm just like, why? What is the point of my life? But I just don't feel right and healthy. And I've already recorded my intro for my podcast this week. But in that, I say, like, I've sort of narrowed it down to three things that are causing the doubt, and that's feeling like I'm physically unfit to be a mother, mentally unfit to be a mother, and financially unfit to be a mother. But all of those things do seem situational to me, because, well, even in the last couple days, my stomach's been feeling a little bit better because I've been back on a normal diet. Mm-hmm. I'm back home. I've also had a cold, and I'm starting to get better from the cold, and I'm starting to feel like myself again. And I feel like, I can have a baby.
Yeah, good. Okay. All right.
But.
Yeah. Well, listen, even when you do have kids, like, there are days where, like, you know, I had to change my whole freaking life around to, like, actually function properly and, like, not have anxiety and, like, not yell, you know? Mm. Like, there's a lot of stuff that comes out when you do have kids that you don't even realize that could be new habits.
Mm-hmm.
But it also could change your old habits.
Yeah.
In wild ways. And I think it's just like the waves of life, you know? We're just kind of all going through these waves and these ups and downs, and it's just, you're just in one of those waves right now. And it,
yeah.
Let it teach you something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go.
Good.
Let's sit down.
I'm glad I got that fully explained all
Well, that's good. That's going to help me too.
Yeah. And then, can I bring this with me?
Of course.
And can I
pee? We're just going to pee all you want. You can pee all over the house if you want. Two boys, so it's already covered in pee.
Okay, so after I peed, Amanda sat me down in the living room, and, you know, she told me it's okay if I cry. And then I started thinking, oh no, what if I don't cry? Is she going to be offended?
I would never be offended if you don't cry. I'll be so pissed.
Because, you know, I cry a lot, but sometimes I'm in the mood, sometimes I'm not.
Yeah, no, and I'm just letting you know, like, don't feel weird about it, because I would welcome it. Just start closing your eyes and just start breathing yourself back in from your day, your week, your month.
Feeling self-conscious about this recording. I'm just like,
if it's gonna take you out of the experience, turn it off.
Bye.
Bye.
And so we turned it off, and she walked me through a wonderful meditation. There were colors. There was a red, and there was a green, and gosh, it was blue. And sorry, I really liked the colors. Anyway, let's let her recap it.
So,
I did cry, by the way.
You did?
Oh,
what part?
I don't remember. Oh, when you told me about the yellow.
Yeah.
And tell them what you said. Do you remember?
Well, so usually at the start of a reading, I'll ask your name to hear the frequency sound of your voice, to click into what chakra is the most open and projecting the most energy. And your color was yellow, which relates to the solar plexus chakra, which is our power center. So where we focus on usually work and how we are projecting our outward selves to the world. And Molly's was bright yellow. So it just made me think about...
What was bright yellow?
Your solar plexus.
Oh.
Yeah. But your color, your reading color.
My reading color was yellow.
Yeah. So that's like the first layer of your aura right now. So like when people see you or know you, that's like the first layer.
I love that color.
It's beautiful. It's a great color. And it's, you know, so many of us, I was saying, in the Western world, like, are constantly, you know, keeping that center tight, because it's also like a very vulnerable place of exposure. Like, you know, people don't typically want their stomachs touched at a massage, or it's just a bare stomach. Like, it's just got a very, so I think just based on everything that you've been going through and all related to that center part of your body, like, there's no surprise as to why that was your color. And I think it's a little bit tired. I think we need to soften that space. And like, I'm glad we did the energy run, because a lot of your stuff got released, and now your chakras are more in balance, they're more around the same size. Yeah. So you can do that too. I can record it for you. I can send
Ooh,
you
record
the,
it for
yeah,
me.
I'm
yeah,
I'm trying to put that on an app too.
Oh, nice.
That energy. But and then I cleared out your intuitive space so that you can be a little more clear-minded and less just indecisive and what you should do. You know, I want things for you to feel like very physically connected right now. Like when you're in the doctor's office and you're hearing what they have to say, I want you to think about stuff and see how it feels in your body.
Okay.
So that you'll be more clued into, because sometimes our body knows so much more than we think we know, you know? So I think this is just a time to really honor that space and honor your body and honor its wisdom for you. And let your timeline and everything, you know, like, it's now or never, or this or that, like, let that kind of story just ease and like, let, you know, let your body tell you what you really need to do. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But you're going to be fine either way. You know that.
And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And then I can chill out.
And then you can chill.
And then
you can
just like, take a breath. Shit.
And fucking have compassion and give yourself a huge pat on the back for what you just accomplished with this podcast anyway. And like, it should keep going because it's funny and great.
And then you asked me about my right hip.
Oh, yeah. And so I saw a lot of just kind of like an opaque thickness around this whole side of your body, but mainly the lower half. And that the right side is the masculine side and is the father lineage usually. And she has a father who's, we all know.
Just broke his right leg and hip.
Had to redo a hip replacement. Yeah. And crazy scar and whole nine. So I think she's picked up a lot of that burden. And so we tried to clear some of that out.
Oh, yeah. And it felt nice.
Oh, good. A little more where that came from. Yeah. And if you come to breathwork, I do Reiki while you're breathing, too. So
Okay. I want to come. That's tomorrow night.
Yeah. It's every week. 7:30. Okay. I'll send you the info. I love it because I can be not able to get off the bathroom floor depressed and, like, hysterically crying. And it's the one thing that will just shift me without having to drink or smoke weed or, you know, fill myself up with distractions. That's why I love it so much, because it just shifts you right away. It always gets me back to normal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's.
Okay. So we've
while
got
we're in
two...
the space, you're gonna shuffle these cards. So right now, I pulled for. I like to use some oracle guidance during my readings, and so I pulled three decks here for Molly.
These are
Wisdom of the Hidden Realms by Colette Baron Reed, and this is one of my oldest decks, and it's, you know, it's like a baby deck. It's got some messages, but it's not as, like, esoteric as some of my other
healing
cards. And then we'll just lay them out like this.
Ooh.
And you'll just pick one, just one that feels right to you.
She fanned them out.
You're going to pick one of each, and then we give you the messages from each of the decks.
One of each, and then a message from each deck. That's cool. Oh, and the hawk. That was another thing that came up.
So I looked into a past life where Molly was an indigenous, like, South American grandma, you know, very tribal vibe.
I had a lot of grandchildren. A
lot of grandchildren, but also, like, just the mama, like, the Pachamama in the whole tribe, and everybody would come to you, and it was a very nice, loving energy. And I asked what message would be good for you, and it was kind of very obtuse, and like, she knows, she doesn't have to ask me, just kind of like be in the moment, stop, right? Like,
you said serenity and
stop
pushing. No, that was something else.
Just allowing for the moment to be. It was more like just surrender to the moment. And then she was also like pointing above her head where there was this tree to the left of her and a hawk on the tree. And I was like, I'm not going to tell. But then I said it. And then Molly had informed me that a hawk flew into her apartment or house a couple of weeks ago.
It was like a few months ago.
Okay. It flew in
my back door and into my kitchen where I was standing with my headshot client and turned around in midair, like stopped midair, went, and flew out. In the same, like, a millisecond. And I looked at this girl, and I was like, what the fuck? It was, like, 2 feet from my face.
I love it. That was cool. I mean, that's all messaging, you know? All right, shuffle these. Mm. And Molly and I went to high school together. I only went for 3 years.
What do you mean?
I was only there for 7th, 8th, and 9th.
What?
Yeah.
Why do I feel like you were there the whole time?
Oh, that's nice.
Why do I even remember you? I don't remember so many people from high school.
I don't remember anybody
from any of my high schools. Well, you remember Andy and that girl.
Yeah, Andy Teppers, the bomb. Hey, shout out if you're listening.
He didn't.
Carlo.
Carlo might listen. He used to listen.
He's the best. I know. I've got good memories of that school. I just wasn't. Yeah, Hackley, I just never found my footing, and I was also, like, doing a lot of weed.
Did you play field hockey?
Doing all the weed. Yeah, field hockey, lacrosse. At that age? 7th, 8th, and, yeah, 9th.
That's why field hockey, I knew lacrosse. Because you were on field hockey and lacrosse.
Mm-hmm. And swimming.
Swimming.
And then I was a cheerleader. The basketball cheerleaders.
In ninth grade? Mm-hmm. And that's when I was a cheerleader.
We were on the cheer team together.
A lot of sports time together.
We are the Hackley Hornets.
I don't remember that. We live in a nest. No, I don't remember that.
And if you don't believe us, then watch us beat the rest. singing, ooh, shawada wada, ooh.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Shabang bang, ooh. Ew. Shawada wada. Watch us shake our thing.
Cheerleading's insane.
It's the worst.
In our school, you had to play a sport.
Mm-hmm. It's a very, actually, cool
thing. I loved it.
I thought that was cool.
I loved it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
But you were older than me.
1 year. But right. But
actually,
that's
we're
why
the same
I
age.
Thought
I was held back in seventh grade.
Well, look.
I graduated early.
I'm more mature.
It's true.
We caught up on high school for a while, but let's get back to the cards.
I'm going to go with...
Why that one? It was meant to be. Let's do this one first. The Winged Wise Ones. Okay. Angelic help, miraculous aid. So the Winged Wise One represents the aid of all angels. When you enter their realm, know that your sincere prayers will be answered according to the will of the divine. This also represents divine intervention and potential of miracles to heal and transform it by magic. Have faith, whatever your circumstance, heavenly beings are watching over you. It's a good card. The Wing Wise One gives you a glimpse of the future by offering messages whispered on the wind. They are translated within you as inspired thought, instantly unraveling the past and revealing the present. Be aware of the higher consciousness in you. This is a good time to observe your thoughts through meditation. Who is observing those thoughts? That self is kin to the Wing Wise Ones who have come to help you soar. So that has a lot to do with, like, listening to your body, listening to, like, stopping in the moment, not thinking about, do I have to answer this question right away? What's the timeline here? What's it going to mean for the future? Just, like, putting all of that, like, what ifs and, like, supposed tos, like, to the side, and just really sitting in the moment and trying to, like, listen to that voice. But I know you've been, like, doubtful of your intuition before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so try just to, like, feel it physically.
Okay.
Or you can even be curious, like, ask the question, like, what is this trying to teach me right now? Why do I feel A, B, or C? Why, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good card. You can take.
They're not all like that? Too.
No, of course not. And actually, this deck is interesting. So if you were to pick the card and then you were to flip it and it would be upside down, that would be a challenger. So it would have another meaning. Mm. But actually, this one has no challengers. It said just only allies.
Okay.
So, how cool is that?
That's a beautiful card. It's a zebra.
Oh, my God. So gorgeous.
Oh, and that's my spirit animal?
Yeah, this is from the spirit animal deck. This is what the zebra has to teach you. Oh, gosh, that's
a beautiful zebra.
Gorgeous.
What a beautiful card.
Freaking love it.
It's lines, lots of lines in this drawing, but it's got a beautiful triangle in its, like, middle, what's that called, third eye?
Yeah, so that has that shape, and there's a meaning
and
for
there's
that.
A rainbow. So the whole card is black and white, but the triangle in the third eye area.
You should take a picture and put this on your Patreon.
Oh, I will. Good call.
So it's the symbol is a fire, is that fire element. So, but this is the Wild Unknown Animal Spirit Guidebook by Kim Kranz, who has a lot of different guidebooks and oracle decks and books, and she's incredible. So if anybody wants to look her up, Kim Kranz, she's the shit. So the fire element is the creatures of the desert and the grasslands. The creatures of the fire element lends us toward change. They represent the ego, and they challenge us to be our best selves. Although these cards appear more frequently where conflict or discomfort is present, the heat they emit is the elixir of our transformation. Several fire cards indicate the heat is on. It is a time of action and change. Deadlines and demands are around every turn, but it's all in the name of growth. You look back on it in awe that it was accomplished. When all else fails, remember fire is the only thing that transforms the darkness into light. It's so good. You should be, like, maybe doing a fire ritual later.
Mm.
I loved your witch episode, by the way. I started following those women. I'm going to do one of their retreats, too.
You have to. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
They're out there, and they're, like, out there.
So what does that mean to me?
So it's transformation. I mean, like I said, like, this is a growth period that's ending for you. You're about to embark upon something that you're going to look, like, whatever the period of time is, you'll look back at, like, today and the weeks past and just say, like, wow, I'm so glad I'm not in that place anymore. Like, I've really come through quite a lot.
That's the part where you made me cry.
Oh, good.
Well, I don't want to be in this place anymore.
Yeah. But the element of fire is a really good omen for you because it's transformation.
On New Year's Eve night, the morning of New Year's Day, 2 a.m., mm-hmm. 2:30 a.m., mm-hmm. there were fireworks outside my house, and I was so pissed off because my Airbnb guests, and I was asleep, and they woke me up.
That's awful.
And so finally, after, like, four of them go off, I'm like, fuck this. And I put on my shoes and a big coat, and I go outside, and there's a fire. And I ran inside, and I grabbed my phone, and I dial 911, and I run out to the fire, and my neighbor's bougainvillea tree, huge, huge bush. It's like a, 40 feet long, beautiful, beautiful bougainvillea. Huge. Anyway, in flames.
That's frightening.
The flames were about 10 feet high, and it was right up against his house. And so I thought the house was on fire. And I'm screaming, fire, fire! And I just, whatever. This is, long story short.
It's frightening.
It was terrifying. Luckily, nobody was hurt, and the whole neighborhood came out, and we got the fire out. Then the fire trucks came. But long story short, I woke up having felt really, really terrible for many, many weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I felt bad in the morning, too. But later that day, I started to feel like myself again.
Wow.
And I also had a fire when I was in ninth grade in my house. Mm. And so I don't know. I just felt like there was something about that fire that really shook me.
Yeah.
And like kind of just, you know, I woke up at 2:30 in the morning and I was able to deal with this emergency and not be ill and not feel sorry for myself, or I was dealing with this thing. And then the next morning I only got 5 hours of sleep, but I was fine the next day and I made it through that day. Mm-hmm. I just felt like, feel like a big shift.
I love that. Then you should know that like fire is an element that's going to give you that bit of, you know, extra oomph, that like little light to help your higher self show you again that you can take on any situation and be fine.
Mm-hmm. That was a weird noise I made.
Mium.
Mium.
That's my gift for the day. I love weird things like mumes. So tonight, why don't I send, do you write? You write too, right? Like, do you journal? Do you write?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send you some journal prompts based off of everything that we worked through. And then I want you to like write them all out.
Okay.
And really feel everything in your body, like before you answer questions. Then I want you to read them aloud to yourself, like read what you wrote aloud to yourself, really breathing into every statement, everything that's written. And then I want you to tear those pages out and I want you to offer them to a fire. There's a place to do that.
I totally can do that. Wondering if I can do it tomorrow or if it has to be tonight.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, anytime in the night. Actually,
The Bachelor's on.
You gotta watch that.
I gotta go to my friend's house.
It's the whole thing.
I gotta finish editing the podcast.
Listen, we all have got stuff to do. Yeah. Okay, so Zebra.
Yeah.
Moving right along, the eccentric, creative, visionary. Zebras are the most precious of gems. They are young at heart, well-cultured, and have an undying curiosity about life. Just like Molly, you guys. Being in the company of zebra personality is not only a delight, but also opens our minds. Be prepared. Their potent magic is contagious, and you may soon find yourself in a faraway land expanding your worldview while having a blast. Zebras also like to contribute to the global health through environmental or volunteer work.
I gotta volunteer more, though. I don't do any volunteer.
Yeah, giving back is huge medicine.
Yeah.
You get so much back when you do that. And I'm the same. I gotta do more.
This is another beautiful card.
Mm. Kuan Yin
to the Celestial Mountain, 41. She's a woman lounging.
So wise. The mother of compassion. She guides us into our enlightenment, which is being able to live in harmony and in unity with the love that is surrendering into love. Enlightenment is not meant to be a spiritual goal, but something that we can choose to live in any time by choosing love, kindness, compassion, and wisdom over fear, judgment, anger, and separation from the source. Mm. So she's like all of that. So her message to you is you're being asked to empower the divine to help you to call the celestial mountain within your own heart, to reach out and allow the divine to assist your current life unfoldment. We live in a free will universe, and no matter how much you're loved, in fact, because you are so loved and respected, no being will intervene for you without your permission. Do not believe that asking for help means that you will grow weak or dependent and not grow spiritually. You're doing this to grow in your own mastery and at soul level, not to hand over your life and not to take personal and spiritual responsibility anymore or for it anymore. Asking for spiritual assistance helps you grow in trust, wisdom, and understanding of the nature of the universe and how it operates. So thank you for coming here. I acknowledge you for doing this. No, because that's a big step.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Very much.
Anytime. okay, so learning to ask for and receive divine assistance helps us learn the art of surrender so we can merge with greater spiritual forces than our own individual selves. Something wonderful begins to happen. You'll discover that your divine self is a powerful living expression of the source of the universe you have within you. Oh, you have within you the power, love, and sustenance of the source of life itself.
Mm.
So that's beautiful, especially wanting to give life.
Mm.
You are the source. When we call to the celestial mountain, we are remembering that we are divine in our own heart. We gain power through this remembrance, and we can help others remember too. So the more you choose to spiritually empower the divine to assist you, the stronger and more conscious your relationship with the beings of light become, and the more you begin to realize the similarities that exist between your own divine nature and these beings. In keeping good spiritual company, you begin to realize your true nature. Make sure that you empower those beings who genuinely love you unconditionally. When asking for help, say three times, "I call on those beings who love me unconditionally." Then say, "I thank you for your clear guidance and assistance on this matter so that I may grow in my own spiritual mastery with peace, love, and joy of my own free will." So be it.
I call on those beings who love me unconditionally. I thank you for your clear guidance and assistance on this matter so that I may grow in my own spiritual mastery with peace, love, and joy of my own free will. So be it. I call on those beings who love me unconditionally. I thank you for your clear guidance and assistance on this matter so that I may grow in my own spiritual mastery with peace, love, and joy in my own free will. So be it. I call on those beings who love me unconditionally, and I thank you for your clear guidance and assistance on this matter so that I may grow in my own spiritual mastery with peace, love, and joy of my own free will. So be it. I said it three times. Are you here?
That's great. I mean, you're very well loved. You're very well protected. You're very well assisted. And I think it's just a matter of, like, knowing that and really surrendering into that. You know, you've got a lot of wisdom under your belt from all this, and you've helped so many people. So this was actually, in a way, like a very divine gift that you gave to people and to the world. Acknowledge yourself for that, you know, because it was something that it just was very unexpected that it became this, and you've had to undergo a lot of personal wild ride, you know. The life you faced, a lot of stuff that most people, you know, you got to give yourself some deep compassion, some deep love, and it's not easy to go at it alone and be unpartnered. I know that.
It does feel nice that I have these that you say I'm loved, and I kind of feel protected and safe. I think that's what I'm feeling from this, and that you talked earlier about scarcity. And I don't remember when that was, whether we were over here or right here. I'm just afraid.
Yeah, we all have that. But that's the trick, right? It's not real, because you have an abundance of love. You should wake up every single morning and go to bed every single night and really do this practice and say, "I'm so fucking grateful I get to breathe today. I'm so grateful I have a body. Yeah. I'm so grateful I have the opportunity to make decisions that I get to make today." It doesn't make you any less of a woman or a person if you don't get pregnant right away, or you don't, you know, get the job right away. Like, it doesn't make you any less, you know. That's just something that you have to keep reminding yourself, is that you are enough.
Yeah.
You are divine. You are the source. You are creation. You are love itself.
Yeah.
So, just keep acknowledging and keep giving yourself, like, the utmost compassion and the utmost love. Because the more you do that, the more you fill yourself up with that. Decisions get easier. Things get lighter. Yeah.
I feel better.
Good. I'm so happy. I'm going to take a picture for you, and I'll just send it to you.
Take a picture of me, too.
And then we took a bunch of pictures, but it doesn't make for very good audio.
That's going on the dating profile. Oh, wow. I look like a real hippie.
Good.
Say goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Amanda, thank you so much, though. Actually, if people want to, you do this with other people. What do you call this?
This is called energetic or intuitive healing.
Good.
We just did. And I do breath work as well.
And do people come to you here in Tarzana for the energetic healing?
Yes. You can come to me here in Tarzana, or I can come to you. I currently don't have a space, but It's because I only do about one client a day.
The space is gorgeous.
Thank you.
You don't need a space.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I just wanted to be in nature. Coming from New York, we don't get that here. So.
Yeah. And on Instagram, people can find you at...
You can find me at @higher_self_ish. So at @higher_selfish.
Yeah.
And then I have a website.
At
higherselfish.co that explains, yeah, all of these.
Dot co?
Dot co. Because dot com was taken. So
higherselfish.co. Dot co. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And I teach breathwork Tuesday nights at Wellborn Lifestyles in Studio City, 7:30.
Well, I can vouch for tomorrow. Yes, but I can vouch for how lovely this experience was. Thank you so much, Amanda.
My pleasure. I'm so glad I got to help in some small way.
Go Hackley!
Go Hornets!
After I left Amanda's, I came home and I finished editing last week's episode, and then I watched The Bachelor with my friends, of course. The next night, I went to Amanda's breathwork class, and in the class, we each drew a single card from a deck, a different deck, and I just need to read it to you because it was, yet again, another really positive, affirming card. Let's see. The card was called Answer the Call. What is your soul calling you to do? Your guidance is divinely guided. You are being called to answer the call of your soul. It might be scary, it might not make sense, but if you trust your soul's yearnings, you will live a life beyond what your mind could possibly imagine. Answering your soul's calling is not a one-time thing, rather a lifelong dance. Deep down, you already know what you long for, what your soul yearns for. I mean, right? There's a whole other page. Let's see. It says, whatever you are called to do, that is your calling. Don't overthink it. Don't wait for permission. Just say yes. Most people are waiting for a step-by-step plan before they take the first step. But intuition doesn't work like that. It takes faith and courage to answer the call of your soul, and that's why most people don't do it. But you are not most people. You are... my phone died. Well, anyway, you get the picture. Okay, so the next day I went in for my ultrasound and to see how my uterine lining was doing, how my ovaries were doing. Everything looked good. There were a few measurements on the uterine lining from 7 point something to 8.6, I think. So the uterine lining was good. The ovaries looked good. They were, you know, there were no big follicles. There was no fear of me ovulating. I did a blood test for progesterone and my thyroid levels, and those levels looked good. So I gave them the go-ahead. And Wednesday night, I went home. I wrote down all my fears. I'd read them to you, but I can't because I burned them all up in the fire. And it was pretty great. Actually, let me see what I wrote in my journal about that experience. Hold on, I gotta go get my journal. Okay, tonight I wrote down 1:22:20. Tonight I wrote down all my fears and feelings, and then I wrote down the realities, and then I wrote down how these challenges have made me grow. And then I lit a little fire out back and burned it all up. It felt good to burn my fears and watch them go up in smoke. I'm not in control. And in the end, if each fear does come true, I'll just rise to and grow from that challenge. I don't need to be afraid. I'm going after my life's purpose. I'm following my heart and following the love. So I'm grateful for Amanda Scott and her energetic healing. But mostly her kind words, articulate guidance, open heart, and for being there for me. It was so kind of her to help me, and I'm so lucky I got to meet with her, feeling supported by angels today. I also wrote grateful for new therapist. Oh, yeah, I got a therapist. And she is so cool. She's gorgeous. She has really great clothes. I don't know. Anyway... what else was I grateful for that day? She said to look to nature, my therapist. This was interesting. She said sometimes farmers will put more dirt. She had heard an Eckhart Tolle thing saying something about seeds and how sometimes farmers will put more dirt on top of the seeds once they begin to sprout, that the challenge makes them grow stronger and hardier. I really loved that. I wrote, I'm grateful my eggs are coming back to life tomorrow. I'm sending them all my love and my life. And donor, I'm not going to say his name, please be strong. Show your best for ICSI. Make them choose good ones. And hey, embryologist person, please choose wisely. Oh, and the last thing is grateful for interesting tea flavors. So there you go. Anyway, so Thursday morning I woke up knowing that they were thawing my eggs and sending them all my love all day long. To help us understand the thawing process and to get a better picture of what's been going on with my eggs for the last 5 years, I spoke with Dr. Wheeler. She's a reproductive endocrinologist at Reproductive Medicine Associates of Michigan. Can you tell me where my eggs have been living for the last 5 years? What their life has looked like?
Yeah, so they have been inside a liquid nitrogen storage tank. So that liquid nitrogen has been what's been keeping them frozen and keeping them nice and safe inside that tank. They're in little tiny straws.
And how many straws are in one tank?
I'm not entirely sure.
But you can fill a lot of eggs and a lot of sperm in one tank, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. A lot of eggs and a lot of sperm are kind of all living together in a tank, all charted out so we know exactly whose eggs and whose sperm are where so that they're nice and safe inside the tank. But whenever we need to get them out, you know, we know exactly which doer or which tank to go to and where to get the eggs.
And you can open those things and close them and they'll still be alive. Open the tanks.
Right. And so that's, you know, and that's so where some of the evaporation of the liquid nitrogen comes. So you're always, you know, there's all kind of monitors and alarms that are keeping track of that, the level of the liquid nitrogen. And, you know, we are constantly refilling the liquid nitrogen so that it keeps everything frozen.
Amazing. Okay. So let's say it's time to thaw my eggs. We open up this thing. It makes a big noise and smoke everywhere. And they go in for my eggs. Each one is in a different vial, right?
Yeah. So they put the eggs in straws. Sometimes they're frozen in a group, you know, of a few eggs per straw. And like when we're freezing embryos, it really depends. You know, if you want to be able to thaw the embryos one at a time, but eggs, you know, they can tend to freeze, you know, a few in a straw together.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I wonder, I had 14 regular eggs and then I had two that were a little bit, they had to wait overnight to make sure they were mature. I wonder if they know which ones were which.
I'm sure that they do. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about the thawing process?
Yeah. So what's really enabled oocyte cryopreservation or egg freezing to be successful is the technology called vitrification. Mm-hmm. So we used to do slow freezing of embryos and eggs, but the egg is a large cell that contains a lot of water. And as the egg is freezing, that water can form ice crystals, which can then cause the egg to expand and to rupture. So what's allowed egg freezing to be successful is the process of vitrification, or a very fast freezing process, and also using a cryoprotectant or a solution that sort of is exchanged out for the water that doesn't form an ice crystal as it's being frozen.
And the egg is in the solution. The solution's not inside the egg.
Yeah, so the egg is sort of placed inside that solution so that then the water diffuses out and then that cryoprotectant solution diffuses in.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, all right. Okay, so...
All right, so that's the egg thaw process. Now, I wasn't expecting to hear anything from Dr. Chung until Friday, so I was just chilling on Thursday, talking to my dad on the phone, when I got an email from Dr. Chung. I said, oh my goodness, Dad, put it on speakerphone, get Mom, I need you guys here for this. And I pressed record.
Yeah.
Okay, Mom, you there?
Hi there.
I just got an email from the doctor, and I didn't read it yet. I just saw that it said egg updates.
Okay.
So I'm going to read it now. I figured I might as well record while I'm reading.
Awesome.
I'm scared.
What were you expecting to get from her?
I wasn't expecting an email today.
That's what I thought. I thought tomorrow was the day.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay. I already read it just now in that amount of time. It says, hi, Molly. I hope you're having a great day. I'm writing with an update on your eggs. As planned, we thawed 8 eggs, and out of those 8, 7 survived. This is a very good survival rate, and 7 is a lucky number. keeping fingers and toes crossed that the fertilization rate will be excellent. I'll give you a call tomorrow with another update.
Congratulations.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want congrats yet. But yeah, okay. This is good. This is good. This is good. I'm just scared, you know.
Of course.
No, you know what? I'm not scared anymore. I'm okay with whatever happens.
Right.
You know what I did last night? I wrote down all my fears, and then I burned them.
Where did you burn them? Out in the pit?
Yeah.
Good. What a great idea.
Yeah, my friend who is the energy healer, she told me to do it.
I love it.
Yeah. So I said goodbye, fears. And...
Molly, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so I'm not afraid. I'll be all right, whatever happens. But anyway, that's good news.
Yes, that's very good news. I'm sorry I'm not being more articulate.
No, there's no way for anybody to know how I specifically want people to react. That's silly. So you're allowed to react however you want.
Thank you. I personally am very happy that you've got seven little eggies.
Seven out of eight is fantastic.
Yeah, and that's what
good about that.
That's what she predicted. She said we would expect that seven out of eight would survive, and that five or six of those seven would fertilize. So
right.
I'm hoping for seven fertilized.
tell us again today you start with progesterone.
I start the progesterone tonight at midnight, and the shots in the butt, and and today I've lowered the dose of estrogen to twice a day. I was doing basically four a day, and then tomorrow morning I'll until I test for pregnancy, I will be doing the progesterone shot every morning.
Okay. When do you introduce the eggs to your donor?
They're doing that today.
Oh, that's happening.
Yeah, that might have already happened this morning. And so they need until tomorrow to find out if any of them actually fertilized. I already told Dad, but they're doing ICSI, which is intracytoplasmic sperm injection, which you know about already, but they put
before one I mess up what happens with ICSI, I'm just going to have Dr. Wheeler explain it.
So what the embryologist will do is they'll take one single sperm and they'll sort of catch that sperm. So they sort of have to like break the tail so that it stops swimming so that they're able to catch it, and they put it inside.
They break it so they can't swim away?
Right.
They don't just pin it down? It doesn't need to swim anymore because you're putting it right in there.
Right, because we're going to inject it right inside, yeah.
And then the egg usually cuts off the tail anyway.
Mm-hmm, yes. The tail is meant, for motility of the sperm, but we don't need that function if we're putting the sperm directly into the egg.
Right.
So we need to be able to catch that sperm and put it inside the micropipette. And then that pipette is placed through the zona pellucida, through the cell membrane of the egg, and they inject, then one single sperm is injected into the cytoplasm of the egg.
Okay, I need you to tell me about the micropipette because it baffles me. It's made out of glass. You can't see it.
You can see it under the microscope, but yeah, it's so small.
I don't understand how something like that can actually be made if we can't even see it with our naked eye. It's got to be small enough to go inside the egg, and we can't even see the egg. I don't get that.
Thank goodness I don't have to make them. I don't know.
Who are the magicians that do make it?
Extremely small. There's various companies that make all the lab supplies for the embryology lab.
So they're not actually, the embryologists aren't touching these needles. They're doing it all with the computer or what?
Yeah, they're sort of doing it all with a little
joystick.
Almost like a joystick kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's wild. That's so crazy.
All right, back to Mom and Dad.
So day two, you'll know, as in tomorrow or the next day, you'll know if your little eggies were receptive, were fertilizable.
Yeah. So we call tomorrow day one, I think.
Uh-huh. Okay. So by next Tuesday, Wednesday, you should know if you've got to go.
Ooh, yeah, we'll know if the embryos made it to blastocyst.
Right, right, right. And then your plan is that fairly rapidly then you would transfer two. Is that correct?
Yeah. And if there's any more than two, then they would freeze the rest.
Right, right, right. Okay. Well, and have you made a decision?
A decision? Hell yeah, I'm in. Oh, yeah. I'm very happy.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's good.
I'm feeling so good. I'm feeling strong and courageous and okay with any outcome. Well, I'm not going to be okay with any outcome, to be honest, but I will be okay. And if it doesn't work, I've got ideas for my next step, but my next step is not to do the other eight at this moment.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
I would have put money on that.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Molly.
Yeah.
Eggs.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
It's a step. Cool. It's a step forward.
A step forward. I'm very, very happy.
Yeah. That's good. That's what? Good. What?
That's good, honey.
Very happy.
Yeah.
All right, baby girl. Good night, Molly.
Good night, Dad. I hope you have a good night. Any pain?
No.
Mm.
None.
No. Except when I bang into his leg.
Oh, yeah.
Which I tend to do with some frequency.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. All right. Love you guys.
Bravo. One step forward. Love you, baby. Bye.
Have a great night. Bye, guys. Love you. That night, I did my first progesterone injection. And the next morning, I woke up and there was already a report in my inbox. So, are you ready? Do you want me to read it? This time my parents weren't on the phone. It was like, 7 a.m. And this was the report telling me how many of my eggs fertilized. The email said, "We hope this email finds you well. Please be advised that your day one embryology laboratory report has been uploaded to your secure patient portal." Okay, and so I went to the portal. Here's what I got. A letter. It says, "Dear Molly, below is a summary of your oocyte." Oocyte is what they call eggs, in case I've never said that before. "Oocytes following yesterday's thaw and what will remain in our incubators until they are checked on day 5, 6, and 7. Number of oocytes thawed, 8. Number of oocytes inseminated, 7. Number of inseminated oocytes remaining in culture, 6. Number discarded today, 2. So that means 6 of the 8 thawed embryos were fertilized. But here's the thing. So there's a thing called 0PN, 1PN, 2PN, and 3PN. PN stands for pronuclei. And there should be, on day 1, I believe, 2 pronuclei. One from the mama and one from the papa. Or one from the egg and one from the sperm. But the letter goes on to read this. "Normally, fertilized oocytes, 2PNs, and oocytes which show signs of abnormal fertilization, 0PNs or 1PNs, today, are kept in culture and assessed on day 5, 6, and 7. Any oocytes with more than 2PNs or ones that degenerate after thaw and insemination have been discarded today." So I, at this point, know that I have 6 fertilized eggs, but I don't know if they're 0PNs, 1PNs, or 2PNs because they keep all of those in culture till day 5, 6, or 7, and they only discard anything with more than 2PNs. So I was happy to see that there were 6, but I had no idea how many of those 6 were 2PNs. To help us understand pronuclei, we're going to Dr. Wheeler. So on day 1... I'm going to get a report. I actually got a report saying how many fertilized. What are we looking for to see that they're fertilized?
Yeah, so you're looking for 2 pronuclei, the male nucleus and the female nucleus, both being present in the cell, and now that cell is now become an embryo, not just an egg.
Okay, so day 1 you can call it an embryo.
Yeah, once it's fertilized, once that egg has been fertilized, mm-hmm. then it's become an embryo.
Okay, so now we have 2 pronuclei in there. Is this where they're lining up their chromosomes?
Mm-hmm, right.
What's 0 PN, 1 PN, and 3 PN?
Yeah, so whether or not there's 0, 1, or 3 pronuclei, meaning there's some kind of error that's happened as the, you know, as the sperm and egg are fusing, that there's the incorrect number of chromosomes in the resulting embryo.
And they get rid of the 3 PNs because those can never mm-hmm. become good, but it's always there's always a tiny chance that maybe something was missed and the 0 PNs and the 1 PNs might make it to day 5 and turn into normal embryos. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just a tiny fraction of a chance, but it's they leave them in the culture for that reason. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got the report in the morning, but I was still waiting to hear from Dr. Chung. Of course, my ringer wasn't on, so I missed her call. So I emailed her, and I asked her about the pronuclei and how many of my 6 had 2 PNs and how many of them had 0 PNs and how many had 1 PN. Here's how she responded. Ready? All she writes is, all are 2 PNs. Well, I was relieved to hear that. So, as of now, it is Monday, day 4, and I asked Dr. Wheeler what my embryos are looking like today on day 4.
It's at the stage where the cells are cleaving, where the cells are dividing, mm-hmm. and you can see a discrete number of cells. Mm. Then, once the embryo divides even further, the separations between each individual cell become blurred and you can't even count exactly how many cells there are. Mm. And that's what it forms on typically around day 4. And it forms that structure is called a morula.
That's where I am today is day 4.
Yeah. So your embryo should mostly be at the morula stage.
Okay.
And then by day 5 or day 6 is when they would form the blastocyst.
There you have it. Tomorrow, I get my day 5 report, and I am hoping, by the time you hear this, I probably will have my results already. I probably will have already posted them on the Patreon. Speaking of Patreon, do you want to be a member? I mean, is that crazy? Yeah, why don't you do it? Just go for it. There's nothing to lose. There's a lot to gain, though. I'm going to give you live updates. Anyway, I just got off track. Embryos. Tomorrow is day 5. I hope they're doing well. That's all I can say. I just hope my little embryos are doing well and dividing and differentiating and having a blast. Been sending them all of my energy. Zoom right out of my fingertips. All right, that's enough hokey pokey for today. Speaking of hokey pokey, actually, Amanda Scott, thank you so much for doing that. All what the energy healing for me and I'm sorry if I'm mangling the words, but thank you for your loving guidance. Listeners, I'll link to all of Amanda's info in the show notes, but for now, you can follow her on Instagram at higher_self_ish, and you can go to her website at higherselfish.co. You can also find her at Wellborn Lifestyles on Tuesday nights for breathwork. I highly recommend. Thank you so much, Dr. Wheeler, for teaching me and my listeners all about the process. And thank you, Dr. Chung, for just being so cool. And, of course, thank you, Mom and Dad, because you're the best. Thank you again, Patreon subscribers. Thank you, listeners. Thank you to all of you who have left reviews and rated and subscribed. Day in and day out, I'm just astonished by the wonderful support. I just can't thank you enough. But, you know, if you haven't, you know, rated, reviewed, and subscribed, you are a dick. No, you probably just don't have iTunes. But go on to somebody's computer who has iTunes. Go and rate and review. Grab your friend's phone. Click on the podcast app. Find Spermcast and subscribe, rate, and review. Okay? All right. I love you so much. Thank you to everybody. Oh, if you want to reach me, it's 323-741-1818. You can leave a voicemail there. You can text me there. You can email me at spermcast@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Spermcast. And I think that's really it this time. Okay, wish me luck. Send good vibrations over to my embryos. And love you so much. Bye-bye.
He could be bald and bearded, short or tall. Funny, smart, love basketball. From gay to straight, black to white. Tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need Spermcast.
An Erios production.
Powered by Acast.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.